Brother, I'm going run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like gets a moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this joke course. But it's no holds barred, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold.
What is up, everybody? My name's We2D. We're back with a special episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. This is episode 200. I remember doing episode 100. It was like last year. We putting in some work here. So I just want to say thank you to all the listeners who've put up with 200 episodes. And here's to the next 200, right? So thank you all who've supported and listened and given comments and, you know, Kara, B-Master, you know, Wavy D from going from listener to on the show. Appreciate you, man. And everyone else who listens, you know, even if I didn't name you, I appreciate all of you and on this journey. Here's to the next 200 episodes. But let's dive in. This is a special episode, but we have breaking news. I announced this on the Discord, so this is why you should be on the Discord. You get these announcements early, right? Link in the description, as well as will be in the outro. There'll be a QR code you can scan that will take you to join the Discord as well. But we have a special episode planned for this podcast on October the 1st. It will be live stream 8 p.m. Eastern time. Me and Wavy D will be live streaming the NXT debut on the CW. This thing's stacked, man. This thing has got, you got Punk. I think they're bringing in Bianca and Jade. Cargill, I think they're bringing in some big dogs to sell out Chicago. CM Punk's got an announcement next week on NXT. I think that may potentially be him bringing in AJ Lee. One may see. You know, we already have Julia versus Roxanne. I think Ethan Page is defending his title as well against, I believe it's Trick Williams. This is a stacked card, man. A stacked card for this October 1st debut on the CW. My belief is we're probably going to get a men's tag team open challenge that is where we see Motor City Machine Guns debut. That's my pick, my surprise pick that I think that they're going to hold off on. I think maybe Stephanie Vaquer shows up at some point during this episode. I think I don't think Obafemi has an opponent. I think he'll defend his title, and I think based on the story we're getting on NXT, I think you had Tony D try to win the title, but he couldn't. And Stax couldn't beat Oba. And so he went out and got Hammerstone, and Hammerstone couldn't beat Oba. I think we got about 2 weeks before the – so 2 weeks left on USA. And in those 2 weeks, I believe, you know, Tony D is going to go out and try to find some other big guy. Not exactly certain who it'll be. But ultimately what I believe it's going to happen is that Obafemi's Tony D says, I got one more guy for you. You'll see on October 1st. And I think we get Moose. I think we get Moose versus Oba. I think that's where that can lead. I think possibly Jordan Grace may be a part of this episode. Assuming she beats Wendy Chu tonight at Victory Road. I'm assuming she will do that. I'm assuming she'll still be champion. And I think Jordan Grace may be part of it. I think Joe Hendry's going to be a part of it. This is going to be a stacked episode. So with that being said, our Slapping Me Wrestling podcast will watch it live stream. It won't count as like an episodic episode of the podcast, right? Because that'll be hard to translate into like the audio format. It'd be weird to just put a live stream of us watching a show in audio form on the internet. I'm not big on that. So we will do a live stream, but it's not going to be like a episode of the podcast, right? It's just a special live stream. And so we got episode 200 here. We got two more weeks of episodes. So I think that would have ended up being like episode 205. We'll have to skip that number, right? And but still, October 1st, the show starts at 8 p.m. Eastern time. I'll probably start the live stream with at least just myself here at around 7:50 to sort of preview it. Wavy D as well will be here, and we'll just sit here. We'll live stream some of this this episode. We'll talk about it through the show. We'll talk about some other things as well. If you're in the chat, we'll have good conversations with y'all as well in the chat. So yeah, man, this is going to be a banging episode. If you haven't watched NXT, if you haven't watched NXT up to this point, start on October 1st. Now start before then. Watch the next 2 weeks on USA, because I'm telling you, man. And I saw this tweet the other day. I forgot who I saw it from, but it was the tweet that literally word for word has quoted what I've been saying over the last like year and a half. NXT is the best week-to-week television product on the show, right? On the show. Best there is, right? So while we're talking about NXT, now I haven't finished this Tuesday's episode yet. I'm about halfway through. And I'll finish it actually when I get done recording this, right? But the big news that comes out is it looks like I just said, Motor City Machine Guns apparently will start in NXT. And this has caused such an outrage to the IWC. Man, these guys are 20-year vets. Tag team wrestling now replicates what they were doing 20. Look, guys, calm down. Let's just think logically for a minute. Would you want Motor City Machine Guns on Raw or SmackDown jobbing to the Bloodline or to the Judgment Day? Because let's just understand the situation here. The Bloodline and the Judgment Day run the tag division on the main roster. Raw has the Judgment Day. SmackDown has the Bloodline. And both of them have the tag titles. And I don't see any way soon that they're going to remove those from the picture. Right? There's not a solid tag team division. Throwing a diamond in a pile of shit just makes the diamond a shitty diamond. Right, so throw the diamond where the diamond will shine, and that's the NXT tag division, which is the best tag division, definitely in WWE, but I would say even the best tag division in wrestling. And I think we're going to get Fraxium. That's Nathan Fraser and Axiom. My name for him is Fraxium. We're going to get Fraxium versus Motor City Machine Guns for the titles on October 1st. That's my prediction. And holy shit, if that happens. Let me tell you something. I'm all for this. That match is going to be a banger, right? This October 1st show is going to be PLE worthy. Yeah, man. But like, why would you move Motor City Machine Guns to the main roster? Will they suffer and either have to lose all the time? Like, here's the thing. This Motor City Machine Guns fits the fan base of NXT. Until NXT can become that fan base that generates the 1.8 million or the 2 million that Raw and SmackDown get, and it has the casual fan base, I'll just be honest here. The fan base that watches NXT are your hardcore fans. There's some casuals who watch it, absolutely. But I wouldn't consider myself your classic casual fan. I got a little bit of hardcore fan in me, right? I think NXT is internally is not viewed as developmental. I said this the other week. I believe I said it on here, that it's more like AAA baseball. It's the AAA level of baseball. So single A is sort of like you're in training school, right? You're training to be a wrestler. Double A baseball is sort of like you're on the indies. Triple A baseball is you're in NXT. You know, someone like Ethan Page, right? Someone like Ethan Page, who's been doing this for 10 plus years, who's obviously main roster ready. But look at some AAA rosters, right? If you go look at some AAA baseball rosters, right? There are players on certain teams that are just stacked, right? Teams that have their major league team is just absolutely stacked. And so I'm going to leave baseball and swap sports for a minute and go to hockey. My local hockey team here, the Charlotte Checkers, several years ago, I want to say like 4 or 5 years ago, were the affiliates for the Carolina Hurricanes. They swapped that. Carolina's now the Carolina Hurricanes affiliate is now the Chicago Wolves, and the Charlotte Checkers are now the affiliates of the Florida Panthers, right? But when they were the affiliates of the Carolina Hurricanes, for those who don't know, you keep like 8 defensemen on the roster, right? You run 6 and you keep 2. That's basically what are known as scratches, right? They're healthy scratches. They're on the roster. They play only if, you know, if a break is needed by one of your starting 6, right? And defensemen. But they had about, I'm not even kidding, what would probably, they probably had about 10 to 12 NHL ready defensemen. And so I would go and watch the Checkers, and there would be guys that are now in the NHL, you know, 4 years later on different teams. That the Carolina Hurricanes system had like 12 NHL ready defensemen. They were just stacked. And so, you know, 4 or 5 of them had to play minor league hockey. And it wasn't because they were bad players. It was just there was no room for them in the NHL. Right? And that's what NXT has that feel now. Is there a developmental side of NXT? Absolutely. Just like it is in AAA baseball and in the AHL developmental system for the NHL. Right? There is a developmental system where you take some young guys like a Javon Evans and train them in your methods, right? Absolutely. But for someone like an Ethan Page, why would you put him on the main roster where he's obviously ready for it, but the roster's so stacked? The roster's so full of talent that Ethan Page doesn't get to participate. But on NXT, he gets to participate. Motor City Machine Guns goes to the main roster. They're not going to participate. But in NXT, they'll get to participate. And that's what's more important, is that Motor City Machine, right? So it is a third brand. And is there a developmental aspect to it? Sure, it's AAA baseball. Eventually, they'll make it up. AJ Styles has even said, come out and said, if he could redo his debut again, as good as that Rumble debut was, he said he would love to do six months to a year in NXT before coming to the main roster. Because there's just a different way WWE does TV. And it would have definitely helped his transition from New Japan to WWE. Right? So I think that there's always been that logical reason why you bring Drew Galloway, bring him back as Drew McIntyre from Impact back to, and he comes to WWE. Andrade, which was known all over the world, you know, Keith Lee was known all over the world when he came to NXT, and he showed up in NXT. Andrade, Asuka, you know, Julia. I think there's a reason you start these people down in NXT. You get them acclimated to the WWE way of doing TV, and then some of them, like an Ethan Page or something like this, like a Julia, they're going to stay in NXT for a while because there's just no room for them. Now, I think Julia obviously fits right in with, like, damage control. Please don't do that, Triple H. I swear to God. Julia is just special. There's something about Julia, I don't know what it is, that She just screams better than Io, better than Asuka, better than that, that's just my opinion, right? But anyway, so Motor City Machine Guns, really good tag team. I think we all can adjust. Main roster ready. There's just no room for them. In the current storyline development of the tag team division on Raw and SmackDown, there's no reason to put them in that where they would be either jobbing out or getting howdied or you know what I'm saying? So I think NXT is the perfect place for them. So let's move on. Let's talk about Gunther. I promised to rant about Gunther. I don't rant about Gunther. Gunther is one of my favorites. I think Gunther is the best in-ring performer active today. But he lacks something. And we got to talk about this. Because for the last month, I've been trying to defend Gunther against these attacks of bro's boring. And bro, I was watching this episode of Raw live in Calgary. And man, I can't defend that performance, man. I can't. I can no longer defend Gunther. Is he boring? Absolutely. And do I understand he's supposed to be boring? Yeah. The mat is sacred. I get that part. I get that. I've tried to defend it, right? I've been on this show several weeks over the last month and tried to defend Gunther to you all. Can't defend it anymore. Gunther, what are you doing, man? You're in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Right? You're in the homeland. In the very same arena, Bret Hart's, he no longer owns the team, but the team he started, the Calgary Hitmen, play in. You're in the very arena. You're in Bret Hart country. You interrupt his promo to come out and basically just use the Bill Goldberg line. Come on, man. You grab that very low-hanging fruit. Come on, man. You got to do better than that. You were set up. WWE set you up, right? If you're playing baseball here, Gunther, you have meatballs going right down center. Now, let me explain what a meatball is. For those who don't know, you know, some baseball terminology. A meatball is that fastball that the pitcher, you know, throws right down the center of the plate, right? It's that pitch that is 100% hittable 100% of the time, but you don't swing or you miss, right? It's one of those where it's right down the center of the plate. It's 90 miles an hour. And if you're a great baseball player, you're smacking that out of the park, right? WWE, like, so my analogy was they're throwing meatballs right down the center of the plate. Gunther, they're setting you up. And someone else came back and responded to me. This was in the Casual Wrestling Show run by Notorious Nerdy D, his Raw after show. Someone came back and was like, no, it's more like he's playing T-ball. All he's got to do is swing and hit the ball. And he's still missing. And that's a better example. Bro, you've been teed up, Gunther, for several weeks. You were in Florida. You were in Florida and they're shouting USA, USA. And you could have just ripped into the USA. And you did it. You're in Canada, home of Bret Hart, with Sami Zayn and Bret Hart. Two Canada's probably favorite two wrestlers in the ring with you. And even more, they just did the Johnny Goudreau memorial, and Sammy comes out in a Johnny Goudreau jersey. You could have ripped into that and been enemy number one in Calgary. You could have been playful with it. You could have, but even if you wanted to stay away from that, because I understand that's a sensitive topic, even if you wanted to stay away from that, you could have at least torn into Sammy and Bret and called them old and torn and went into Bret Hart. But now you chose the low hanging fruit and you chose the easy way, Gunther. What are we doing? So I always come into this because part of me always wants to say, well, 90% of what goes on the show is booking, right? So I do have a question. Is this a booking decision where Triple H just won't let Gunther fully lean into this heel gimmick? Or is this Gunther just not doing it himself? I want to know what that is, and I don't think we'll ever know that answer. Because I know Gunther can do this. If you go back and watch his IC title run, His promos against Miz, his promos against Chad Gable, his promos against Sami Zayn, how he won the title, and his promos against Damian Priest seemed to be a little bit more edgy. He called him street trash. He right? And where's that Gunther at? He didn't do it against Randy when he could have leaned in against Randy and brought up Randy's past and all of that. He can definitely do it now against Sammy and against Bret Hart. But you chose the easy way out. And the IWC loved the Bill Goldberg reference because they're weird. But this is just low-hanging fruit, right? And a lot of people, I saw this post, people aren't giving Gunther the credit on the mic that he should get. Yeah, because the videos that you share are Miz, and you show Sami Zayn, and you show Damian Priest promo where he goes a little bit edgy. He stopped doing it. And there's an easy solution for this. Don't have Gunther talk. Just have Kaiser give the promos. I feel like that's easy. I feel like that's the easy way to make Gunther, right? Have Gunther play the I'm better than you card. And I'm so much better than you. I'm not even going to talk to you. I'm going to have Kaiser come out and talk to you. Right? But I don't know what they're trying to do with Gunther here. It's really hard to see the direction they're taking Gunther in. Because there's only so much a 600-day IC title reign can give you in an 800-day NXT UK title reign. There's only so much that translates to a casual audience before they just like, okay, but what about now? Why do I care about why you're fighting Sami Zayn now? Where are we going with Gunther now? Like, and he is boring, and the in-ring work only translates so far, right? We know he's going to get in this match with Sami, and it's going to be a banger. But it can only translate so far, right? And especially, but you could also have set up, like, future feuds for, like, you could have trashed Canada, right? And then that would have set up an easy way for you to go into Vancouver at Survivor Series and fight for and fight against some other Canadian superstar or maybe even have this feud with Sammy go Bad Blood, Crown Jewel, and then Survivor Series, and you can end the Survivor Series in like a Iron Man match between Sammy and Gunther or whatever, and Sammy's fighting for, you know, to protect his country or whatever, right? And all, right? I think that would be, because that would be fun. Here's why. Because, I mean, I'm at this point right now. I think Gunther needs to drop the belt. He's just not, when you're the face of the brand, right? And, of course, he's not going to be the face. Like, he's not the guy they're putting on posters, right? That's Priest. But, and that's Uso, right? But I think we can really fix some shit up here. Imagine Jey Uso and Sami Zayn as your champions, right? Going into the new year. And on day one, that frees Braun Breaker up to beat the fuck out of Sami Zayn to win the title. I think that's the path we need to go now, right? And I think Sami deserves a main title run. I do. I think Uso could take the title off of Braun, and because they're not going to get involved in this bloodline story, it feels like, until later. So let's go ahead and give them a little title run. I think at Bad Blood, let's go ahead and put the strap on Sammy. Let's go ahead and put the strap on Jay. I think Gunther needs to drop the title. He's not living up to this potential I saw in him. Because even like if you go back to my booking of it, even with me having Gunther as champion, beating Damian at cashing in this opportunity of winning King of the Ring and winning at SummerSlam, I only had him holding it for a month before Braun cashed in Money in the Bank. Like, if you go back to my booking, I had Braun winning Money in the Bank, getting himself suspended so he couldn't be in Germany, right? And then popping up out of nowhere in like a hoodie and jeans, sort of like McIntyre did to Punk, right? And hitting him with the briefcase, cashing in, spear, another like maybe like two spears, and then the match is over, and Bron Breakker leaves. Like that. That was how I got Bron Breakker the championship, because I think Bron should be the champion ultimately. But I think there's a path to get there now. Let Sammy win. That's an easier opponent to get Bron to beat up on, and have Bron Breakker reignite this feud against Sammy, and just beat the live. And they, even if it has to be like Bron has to win Royal Rumble first, and then wins at Mania or whatever. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I think Bron Breakker needs to be the champion going in to the Netflix era. I think Jey Uso as IC champion is fun for a little bit until maybe he gets. But also, if the Bloodline is coming over, if the Bloodline story is coming over, and I think Roman Reigns is going to play both brands. I really think Roman's going to play on both shows, personally. I think we could have like the new Bloodline on Raw and the old Bloodline on SmackDown, and then they collide at. Just because I think that story's bigger than brand separation, or at least it should be, right? But I think it's time to take the strap off Gunther. That's where I'm at. And that may be an overreaction, but unless he proves to me something different, he's not, even for me, someone who likes Gunther, like he's still one of my favorites. I just don't see a reason for him to be champion. I just don't. So I think it would be cool. You know, if Uso wins the IC belt at Bad Blood, if either at Crown Jewel in Saudi or at in Canada, because both of those events play into some, one of Sammy's heritage, either him being Canadian or him being Muslim. I think, you know, he's a fan favorite in Saudi, right? So I think him beating Gunther in Saudi would be big, but I also think him coming in. So I think he could win it in Saudi, but then come in and have to protect his title, but also protect like Canada, protect the homeland. And Gunther gets that like rematch at Survivor Series, and in like the like an Iron Man, like I wouldn't do 60 minute, but like a 30 minute Iron Man match main event. I think that'd be cool. Yeah, I don't know, man. But I think it's time to take the belt off Gunther. I do. I think it's time to. He had his chance. I just don't know. It's not translating to, you know, you could run Gunther 600 days as IC champion, and have him fight and do open challenges. But he's not even doing open challenges for the belt anymore, for this belt. Like I don't know what their direction is with it, and it's not translating to the casual audience, which is the most important part of your fan base, because the hardcores are going to watch and support no matter what. The hardcores love Gunther. It's this casual audience that it's not translating for them. Right. All right. So let's move over to AEW. Talked a little bit NXT. We talked a little bit of Gunther here on the main roster. Let's talk a little bit of AEW. You know, I called this episode All Out Shit, because that's exactly what All Out was. It was a shit show. And look, I'm going to be fair and honest here. I didn't watch it. I did not watch one single minute live of this show. And so I know the hardcore fans and the Tony Khan dick suckers and nut writers are going to say, well, you can't critique what you didn't. Shut up. I'm critiquing this from a business perspective, and that has to talk. So I don't care how good the first however many matches were before the final two. I don't care how good they were. I don't care how good the show was before you got to the final two matches. I don't care about any of that. I just don't. Here's what I care about. I care about the fact that your world champion was almost strangled to death by plastic bag on live TV, on pay-per-view. You tried an attempted murder. That's the angle we're running here, Tony. You couldn't just have the BCC beat him up. You had to try to kill him, huh? Yeah, that's the angle we're running. And then you go into the next match and you try to defend this by saying it's unsanctioned, anything goes. Okay, that's fine, but you're gonna make us watch him be swerve. I think Swerve got power bombed on the cinder block, which is fine. That's a standard move. That's cool. Not necessarily. I mean, it's dangerous as fuck, but it's not a bad thing. And then you're gonna inject a needle all the way through his mouth. You ripped out his grill, but now the needle's in his mouth. And then you're gonna do this dangerous ass, unprotected chair shot to the head. I don't care how gimmick that chair was. That motherfucker sounded like a gunshot from the 300 section. You could hear it in the nosebleed. That's how loud it was. That's not acceptable, dude. That's hardcore deathmatch bullshit. Yeah, I can't wait to hear Jim Cornette. I don't listen to Jim Cornette regularly. I just wait till he posts shit on YouTube and then I listen to it. I can't wait to hear his reaction to this. I hope he tears a new one. Because I'm about to. Like, what the fuck are we doing? That's not wrestling, man. That shit that attracts the people in the that go to deathmatch wrestling. There's like 1,000 of them. There's like 1,000 people at these death shows. It's not big, man. What are we doing? This is your main event. This is your world champion match, and you're doing strangulation and needles. This right here, AEW proved again why all they are is an over budget glorified indie fucking mud show. That's all they are. They're a glorified indie show. And if that's what you want to be, that's fine. But let's just be honest. Let's be honest on what you are. You're a glorified indie show. You're not WWE. You're nowhere close to WWE. And everyone's response is, "Oh, assumption of risk." Now we got to stop with this cop out bullshit. At some point, you got to stand up for these motherfuckers' health. I mean, we were watching football yesterday, right? On Thursday night. We saw Tua take a hit, right? Concussed. Everyone already knew. His, like, fifth concussion in 3 years. He didn't play the rest of the game. They changed the rules because he almost died on the fucking field. And let's just be honest, Tua shouldn't be playing football no more. We've done years and decades of research on CTE. And AEW doesn't give a fuck. You got wrestlers like, I think it was Kerry Morton from the Rock and Roll Express coming out and saying, look, stop doing chair shots. Corey Graves has spoke out about this the last time y'all did it. We got to stop with this bullshit. Because these are the same fans that shit on Chris Benoit for doing what he did, and he did some shitty shit, man. But then continue to cheer for the shit that made him go fucking crazy. You can do entertainment without being stupid. You're gonna put Darby Allin in a damn wheelchair. You're gonna end up putting Daniel Bryan in a fucking wheelchair. And I said this several, I may have been a few months ago. Daniel Bryan's a personal thing for me, man. The dude in 2014, when I got into wrestling again, was my favorite wrestler. Right? And that was the Edge moment. Everyone who grew up on Edge and had to see Edge retire early because of neck shit, that was Daniel Bryan to me. Right? That shit is personal to me. And I don't care that he got strangled. I just think the strangulation's stupid. I don't see how that benefits anything. You could have accomplished the same thing without the plastic bag over the face, right? But you still allow Brian Danielson to take Tiger drivers. Even though he's already said that sometimes he can't feel his fingers. You got Kenny Omega who has vertigo and all this stupid shit. He's doing and now he's in the hospital and that's something completely unregular, you know, unrelated. But you're gonna put some of these motherfuckers in fucking wheelchairs. I don't care about the assumption of risk. I don't. I think it's a company's job. I think it's an employer's job to make sure that their employees, and I get it, they're not employees, they're contractors, but you still have a responsibility for anyone who works for you, even if it's just for a single day, that they are taken care of and they are not put at risk. And all Tony Khan continues to do is to put motherfuckers at risk. Whoever's approving this damn shit is fucking retarded. This is not acceptable. This is mud show bullshit. This is shock and awe for the sake of shock and awe. This leads to nothing. It's pointless. Why you always got to shit? Bro, because they give me shit to feed. They feed me shit to shit on them for. If they would just stop doing stupid shit, I would stop talking about AEW because I honestly don't give a fuck about the company. I don't want them to go away. I don't. I want them to succeed. I've always said this. 90% of the wrestlers on the roster, I'm fine with. It's how they run the company. It's Tony Khan and it's the fan base. At some point, the fans are going to need to understand that they only do this stupid shit because y'all keep cheering for it. If y'all would stop fucking cheering for this stupid shit, they would stop doing it. It's also, we got to save the wrestlers from themselves. I mentioned that wrestlers documentary 2 weeks ago, maybe it was last week. I don't remember. By the way, I finished it. Fantastic little docuseries on OVW. There's a wrestler on there. He's still part of the company, Cashflow. He says something along the lines of, you know, you don't understand the adrenaline rush walking through the curtain. We got to save these wrestlers from themselves because they are addicted to this shit. This is a high for them. This is an adrenaline junkie type sport. We got to save these performers from themselves because they're going to do whatever it takes to get that next little bump of adrenaline and to get the reaction. And sometimes that might mean even potentially trying to kill themselves and doing stupid shit that hurts the brand, right? And Tony Khan, let's go to the business perspective on this. You're in the middle of TV deal negotiations, and I don't care how many times you said you think you got some shit done. Until there's pen on paper and there's proof and you announce a new fucking deal, nothing's done, dude. You're in the middle of TV deal negotiations, potentially trying to get a fourth fucking show on TV because, you know, running three right now is doing real good for you. And the rumors now is that they're going to get rid of Rampage. The idea with Warner Brothers is they're going to run Dynamite and Collision, and then Fox would take on Shockwave, which is a shitty name for a show. But that's not even going to be on Fox. It's going to be on FS1, which half the country doesn't get. I don't know if that's the exact number, but you know, at least on Fox, it would be seen by most of the country. FS1's like a special channel that not every provider gives you. But you're in the middle of these negotiations. Like Fox, you blank out fucking cursing and fan signs and fans giving the middle finger. You black that out. You're going to allow fucking needles? No. Come on, Tony. You think that they're going to allow that shit? If I'm looking at Fox and I'm saying, we're in this deal, this is cool, and then I see strangulation and needles, bro, Tony, you're going to have to tone that down or we can't do this deal. Like, you're in the middle of business. Like this hurts business, dude. You potentially had fans that may have wanted to watch AEW, and so they checked out the show. And maybe they enjoyed it up to the last two matches, and then they saw strangulation and needles in an unprotected chair shot. And maybe they're sitting here saying, I don't want to participate in that. I don't want to watch that. That's not what I want to watch when I watch wrestling. You may have lost fans doing this, Tony. I don't get it, man. I just don't get it. Could someone explain it to me? Because I don't understand it. I don't understand it from a wrestling perspective, from me putting on like a hardcore wrestling hat, thinking like storyline wise, this leads to nothing. But even from a business perspective, this hurts business, dude. Like, I don't get it, Tony. What are you doing? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I just don't understand it. Which leads me to the segment that we're going to do that we've been picking up, which is the star of the week. Now, I have a real answer, but I also I want to be a little bit funny here. Tony Khan is my star of the week. He's convinced an entire fan base he can do stupid shit, and they won't say anything bad about it. That takes some great manipulation. That takes some great brainwashing. You can convince an entire fan base, or most of a fan base, these hardcore AEW fans. He's convinced all of them that nothing he does is wrong. If anyone critiques them, they're the idiot. And so we can do chair shots and needles and strangulation and lighting people on fire and Darby jumping off fucking everything and all the stupid shit that has happened in this company. He's convinced them that none of that was wrong. It's assumption of risk or whatever fucking thing they use to try to defend this, and they just walk in lockstep like a bunch of cultists. Tony Khan's convinced them all of it. That takes some great manipulation. So for that, Tony, you're the star of the week. But in reality, my actual star of the week is WWE and particularly Jackie Redmond for the tribute to Johnny Gaudreau. This was not needed. There was no reason for WWE to actually do this other than they were in Calgary. And Johnny Gaudreau was like, he didn't play for Calgary when he died. I think he was on the Columbus Blue Jackets. But Calgary loved this dude. As you could see by everyone in the crowd that they showed wearing Gaudreau jerseys, they loved this dude. And for them to run this tribute, this memorial to my third favorite player in the NHL. This is like Johnny Hockey, because he grew, I like Boston sports, right? And I don't live in Boston, but I like Boston sports. And so when it comes to college hockey, I don't have a favorite, but I cheer for Boston University, the Terriers, and I pull for the Boston College Eagles and in hockey. And I think he played for Boston College, if I remember correctly. It's been several years since he was in college. Yeah, he played for Boston College. So he was part of like the Boston sports like community. So badly wanted him on the Bruins. And I love this dude. Just, you know, any chance I got to watch Johnny Gaudreau, I would try to watch it, right? So my favorite players are David Pastrnak, because he's on the Bruins. He's fantastic. He's my favorite player right now. Tyler Seguin, he used to play on the Bruins. He now plays on the Stars. Was my favorite player in up until he got traded, and then we signed Pastrnak, right? And then it's Johnny Gaudreau. Those are my three favorite players in the NHL. So when I saw this news, like this almost got me the same way I got me getting the news of Kobe got me, right? I was at work when I got the news. Like, everyone's phone went off, ESPN alert, and we all grabbed our phone out of our pocket, and oh, Kobe Bryant has passed away. And we all had that same reaction, right? Well, I saw this alert, Johnny Gaudreau has passed away, and I'm like, no, man. Like, I had that, like, it almost hit me the same. Like this dude meant a lot to hockey. He meant a lot to the Boston sports community. He meant a lot to Calgary, right? And so for Jackie Redmond comes out and said this is the hardest thing she's ever done on TV. And I can completely understand that. But she handled this and ran that tribute and that memorial like a fucking champ. She did so good at it. She kept composure. She was, you know, and bro, WWE, I got to applaud you for this. You didn't have to do this. Like, Johnny Gaudreau wasn't some, like, former performer on the show or something like that, right? I don't ever think he's ever been on the show, right? But this was just a nice gesture from a company that I think just wanted to show love to Calgary and to the family, right? And they also ran Raw the day of his funeral. So I think that was also just a nice gesture as well. But man, what a story that was, man. It's crazy, man. But that WWE, you don't understand, man. That's how you win fans, man. That means a lot. I don't think people realize, you know, they may have taken some TV time away from a talent, but that was needed for that community. And WWE, thank you, man. That was great, man. That was great. Star of the week right there. All right, let's get to react to that. We'll take episode 200 home with this right here. And this is Thunder Rosa commenting on Julia in her return to the company or her debut to WWE. She says the following. And it pulled up and it disappeared. Here it is. She said, "Why the fuck are you going to introduce somebody with so much hype with nothing? No story, no video package, nothing. Also, this woman, the way that she presented herself in Stardom, she presented herself as a superstar. You introduce her, it's a freaking pay-per-view, PLE, whatever they call it now, in a very basic way, in a little bit watered down. That's not Julia. Julia is a superstar. You've got to introduce her properly because she's about to go on the top of the food chain. She's not going for a girl that's just starting and beating her ass. No, she's going for a championship. And this is something companies need to do with people coming in that have big hype. Give them a big fucking video package. Explain the story of this person and why she has so much hype and why she is so good for the company and why she's being signed. Why, instead of going for something else, she's going for the fucking championship. Explain that. Because if not, you're doing a disservice to the person that's coming in." End quote. So let's talk about this for a second. First off, Thunder Rosa, if you could just mind your own damn business. And maybe give the same advice to Tony Khan for a minute. But let's also talk about Julia coming to WWE. Because this wasn't like the first time we've been introduced to her. We saw her Mania weekend. We introduced her Mania weekend. They showed her Mania weekend. But also, can you give it some damn time? We debuted her. She came in a week and reintroduced herself to Chelsea Green. And then the next week, she got the fucking video. But I'm certain that they kind of understood, again, that we saw her Mania weekend. We knew who she was. They introduced us to her. They gave us 5 months. They gave us 5 months' time to prepare for Julia. The fans were ready for her. We know who she is. And then she's going to get a video. They're going to show the video. It's not like they're... Right, because WWE's been consistently doing that. Go talk to Tony Khan about this shit, man. Worry about your own company. Because Tony Khan doesn't do this. Go give that same advice to him. Come on now, man. Come on now, Thunder. What are you doing here, Rosa? Like, what's the point of this? Julia's a superstar. She already is. She's going to get the video. They know how to do this. WWE's been doing this for some time. They know how to do this. Come on now. Stop being crazy. I don't understand the point of this. Rosa, go focus on your own shit. Focus while you're never really on TV. Go ask Tony for some TV time. Go help AEW's presentation, because it surely doesn't do jack shit for new superstars. Did you give Ricochet a video? Nah, you just gave him Mortis or whatever the fuck that bull motherfucker's name is. He went from Braun Breaker to some dude from Mexico that no one knows. Good luck to you, my guy. I don't get it, man. What are we doing with this shit, man? Let me know what y'all think. In the Discord, join the group. Let's continue the conversation. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, episode 200. Appreciate all the love and support from all the people who've been here since the beginning or for a while. Appreciate all of that. And until next time, I will see you all later. Me and Wavy D back here on Tuesday. And until then, y'all have a great weekend. I'll see y'all later. Brother, I'm going on a wild hog holding. If I like it's a moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion.